Rabbanan kalakala kadai sazeh. Remember Rabbanan kalakala kadai sazeh. About 2 years ago I met someone who was never privileged to know Rav Pam. He read a lot about him, he heard a lot about him. And what he found most inspiring, that all of Rav Pam's accomplishments was in America. And he told me then he thinks Rav Pam is mechayiv the American dar. Just like the Gemara says, in Yuma Hillel's mechayiv the aniyim. You say you couldn't accomplish, you didn't have the means. Look at Hillel. Hillel was mechayiv the aniyim. Rav Pam is mechayiv the American people. We think we can't do enough. Look what Rav Pam did in living in America that we live in. Anybody that knew Rav Pam knows how much he would never allow us to say such a statement. This remarkable Oyev Yisrael, who pained when he heard any trace of bad about Klal Yisrael, he would never allow us to even think that he is mechayiv the American people. But I believe what he would allow us to say, that for over 75 years, Marev Rabbeisai, Rav Pam was mechayiv the American people. I don't know how to type that word mechayiv, but Anu Talmidav Uvanav, how many different ways we understand how Rav Pam was mechayiv the American people. I will never do justice to Rav Pam's memory, because in so many ways that we could attest to, this remarkable Gadol was mechayiv us. I remember an incident, it was a little more than 22 years ago, before the summer. I met a friend of mine who was getting married a few weeks later. He's going to Eretz Yisrael. And he tells me, I'm so embarrassed. I just drove Rebbe home from Machasen in Muncie, and I just started crying like a baby in front of him. I asked him, well, why'd you do that for? He said, you know, I'm thinking. I was sitting in the car, talking with him, enjoying him. And I started, my memory started going back. And all the years that I spent with him, and then I thought, I'm getting married, I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael. And it hit me. It hit me that there's going to be life without Rav Pam. Someone that didn't know Rav Pam wouldn't understand the story. But for us, Talmidim, how many explanations can we give to that statement? How many ways can we explain that the Rav Pam of our door, how he was mechayos? How many times in the past 3 years have we felt like crying? Because life without Rav Pam, without the Eitzah, without the Psak, without the Chizik, without the smile that spoke so many words, without the person that believed in us more than we believed in ourselves, can we ever do justice to the person that was the personification of Mor Ahavti Sayra Secha Kol Ayayim Yisichasi? How he, the Avas HaTorah, that he lived, I remember vividly by Yeshia once, he thought of a Kiddush to answer a kasha that he had for years, and he says, Medav Machana Kiddush, Anaya Brekel in Torah. And then he said, so why aren't we making a Kiddush? Mor Ahavti Sayra Secha, how he personified the Ahavas HaTorah. And maybe more importantly, how he was a shining example of Kol Hayayim Yisichasi. Unfortunately, in the end, it wasn't as visible. His incredible, incredible Hasmada. He once told me, Gloibne, in the younger Yon, Yichakimadnish, Messiah Daskiven Funtaira. I didn't have to believe him. I saw it day in and day out. I saw when he would walk in the street, his mind was thinking about Torah. I saw with my own eyes, he was sitting by a wedding, and you could see he was in a different world. I saw the man that when he was asked, How did he endure the pain of the treatment? He said very simply, the Par Mishnayas of the Chagalan Baal Peh, they kept me busy. Kalayaini Sichasi. A grandson once told me he was walking with the Rebbe and Baruch Chaim, the Rebbetzin. And the Rebbetzin wanted to impress upon him the importance of time. So she turns to the Rebbe and she says, right when you were young, you didn't waste time. So he looked up and he said, not a second. There's an Ish Emes that was able to say about himself, not a second. How he was Mechaya us by living a life, not a second. With my own eyes, I saw right over there, in the end of his life, there was the Bavarsim, the throne of the petal for the Chosin. And I was worried that a petal would hit him, Chasham hurt him. So I was there atop me with my talus as a human shield to protect him. How he was Mechaya me when I would look down, and what was he doing under my talus? He was learning. There wasn't a second that he wasted. Ani Ageva, I would watch, I sat next to him. Not that I sat in the front, but you know, he sat in the back. When he was a Sandik, the halacha is, Temincha, the Sandik does not say Tachnun, but the Tziba does. And I saw it often, particularly in the later years, he would fall on his hands, not to be different than the Tziba, a greatness that he lived with. But he had a Seyd in Pirkei Avos. Every time he missed up the Pirkei Avos. I told someone jokingly, that was his best Seyd in the last years. Uninterrupted learning. Kol hayayim yisichasi. I remember the driver that drove him to Ostrava when he came to visit. Said he was amazed. They hadn't been in the mountains for so many years. And the Rebbetzin was so excited by the different scenes along the way. And Reb Tam didn't pick his eyes off the Gemara unless the Rebbetzin was talking to him. How he was Mechaya us kol hayayim yisichasi. Can we ever do justice to the Goyin, the Yachid B'dayrai, in Midas, who personified the Racher Darchei Noyam, wherever he went, he was a Kiddush Hashem, the Hashem the Samayim Messiah V'yadecha. There's a lot to say, but let me tell you one insight, a penetrating insight in the greatness that he became. Because he wasn't only a thoughtful person, he was a thinking person. And he never stopped thinking of the other person. The year that his mother passed away, he was an oval, and naturally he wasn't able to go to weddings. And yet, he had a very interesting custom. He would go to the wedding hall, wish the chasen mazdov, and go home. He was then close to 60 years old. And it came to a point that was almost every night. So I remember Weinberg Schlitter told me, he approached him and he said, I don't understand you. You have the best excuse possible. If you go once in a while, okay. But every night you have to schlep to the wedding hall? So Reb Tam looked at him and didn't understand his question. For me, it's every night. But for the chosen, it's once in a lifetime. That made him the Chad V'Doyrei in Midas, because he never stopped thinking. Can we ever do justice to this amazing honor of, sometimes his action transcended the very meaning of Anivus. How we sat by the Shmuz, we were amazed how he said these words, and I quote, because even 20 years ago, we knew a word of his was a word. The greatest of Kavod is Sebereach Zayin from Kavod. Kavod is Bizyonis. What I would give, what I would pay to once more hear him describe the Hecher de Welt, the Ganze andere Welt that he lived in. And he would say, and I quote, nicht in the Narische Welt, nicht in the Narische Welt von Kpedis. And then he would lose himself in the Narische Kovid. how he was mechaya us by what's really important in life. I remember like yesterday, I called him to tell him I'm making a bris for one of my sons. And I said it matter-of-factly, of course, Rebbe's not going to come. Rebbe was astounded by the last bris. And he says, you think I come to your bris to be a tzaddik? I come to your bris because it's my simcha. And by the bris, he never called someone over. He came over to me and said, remember, anasim achim anachnu, I don't want a kibbutz. We would sit there and he would say, Fazash Shaila Das Mefregin Das Ta. He never had to speak about the Midah of Anivis because he was a living testimony of how great a person could come if he transports himself, if he lifts himself to the world of Alekim Oseh Ta'adam Yasha. A friend of mine who lived out of town, he got married, he moved to Kensington for a while. B'diday Havayuv, his wife calls him right after Meir Avdala. He was slouched on the couch, and his wife says, Yehuda, there's a call, someone at one time wants to speak to you. She didn't chak. Picked up the phone, Reb Yehuda, this is Avram Pam. I paskin wrong what I told you today, the Shaila of Hilchas Nasim, and I haven't learned it in many years. V'nevzen azayid that tells someone 50 years younger than him, I paskin wrong. How he was Mechaya, which I believe his greatest accomplishment, how he was Mechaya the Yachid, the individual that often had no one else thinking about them. I saw, living in the neighborhood, how he spent countless hours, better yet, countless precious hours, how he cherished time, because he saw people that no one else saw. And he felt the pain of those that no one else felt. A well-known Askin told me, he was once leaving his house, he was in a rush, the phone rings, a lady who had many problems, and he says, I'm sorry, I just don't have the time, I have to leave. So she told him, you know, I often hear that. There's one person in this world that always has time for me and is never too busy, and that's Rabbi Pam. I ate in his home Shabbos and Yom Tov often. What I experienced, what I saw with my own eyes, I'd rather not be myrich. It might even be humorous. But the way the people, the guests that he considered, and he and they considered him best friend, how they carried on by that Suda, it was unbelievable. And that person was comfortable to know that Rabbi Pam is his best friend. But you know, the story doesn't end there. A few days later, I was in the store in the corner over here. There was an eccentric man that everybody avoided. Not a very pleasant person. And I hear the storekeeper turning to him and said, Mr. So-and-so, but where do you eat Shabbos? So without skipping a beat, I eat by my best friend's house. Who's your best friend? Rabbi Pam. How many people in this world considered him their best friend? His grandchild told me one Matzah Shabbos, right after Havdalah, the phone rings, which, as you know, is not a very good sign. And Rav Pam's expression, he's cringing from pain. He realized probably the worst that happened. And then suddenly he started banging on the table. And he said these words, and I quote, what do you mean you don't have any friends? I'm your friend. Who knows how many people in this world were proudly able to say, he's my best friend. The yachid, Rabbi say, the yachid in his life, the love and the concern of people that no one else noticed. He personified what he told us often, B'Shem the Rambam. Why is the Talmud Chacham called a chaver? Because Naseh Chaver Lekol. We can go on and on, but in so many different ways, our Rebbe was mechaya us. Who knows how many rabbanim, how many paiskim, how many mabitzei Torah on Chof Ches Av Tov Shin Samach Aleph cried at Nafla Teres Reishenu, because he was the one that believed in them. He was the one, the drive behind the success. How many maestas cried on Chof Ches Av Oy L'Svina Sha'av the Karbonita, because he was the leader that navigated them through all difficult times. And most of all, how many individuals cried, I lost my best friend on Chof Ches Av? Can we ever do justice to the memory of someone that in so many ways was the Rav Pam of our life? Rav Abba Friedman, when Rav Rafa told me, Rav Yankov told him over 30 years ago that Rav Pam is the Chofetz Chaim of the Dor. How he was so upset about that. But one thing he couldn't deny, Rav Pam was the Rav Pam of our door. How he was mechaya us in that capacity. I often wonder, Ameh Koichi Gadol, how is he able to accomplish so much with Talmidim, with yeshivas, with maestas, with individuals? I think the answer in a few words of Tana de Be'el Yohu is not only the essence of our revered Rebbe, it's not only the person that he was, perhaps most important, it was the people that he would want us to be. In Perek Dalet, the Tana de Be'el Yohu asks, why was Moshe Zoicha to a Ma'ar Panim in Olam Hazeh that the Eibishter designates only for Olam Haba? And the answer is a fitting tribute to our revered Rebbe. She'asar et Sinai shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was always doing Ratzon Hashem. But more importantly, he was Mesaneach al Kvoidei shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shal Yisrael. He pained when he saw a chisaron in Kvoid Shamayim. V'chol yomav hayu mechamed, he desired, u'mitzave, and he longed, u'mitzave, and he hoped, Shalom ben Yisrael Aviyam Sheva Shamayim. If there's one lashon that captured his greatness, his life was a never-ending quest to see the glory of Klal Yisrael, and his heart that ticked only to Kvodem Shal Yisrael and Kavod Hashem Yisbarach. Can we ever forget the person standing in front of us and crying about children in Eretz Yisrael that he never ever saw? Can we ever forget him saying with such a longing, V'chol b'nayach limudei Hashem, because there's nothing else that filled his heart than that realization to see the glorious picture of V'chol b'nayach limudei Hashem? Can we Talmidim ever forget how he encouraged, inspired, pleaded, and begged us, who's going to lead Klal Yisrael in the next generation? Who's going to paskin the Shneiros Shailos? Because it pained him, it worried him, it concerned him. What's going to be with Kavod HaTorah? I still remember he would say the word Tzar HaShchina. You could feel the Tzar HaShchina when he said those words. Who could forget the person in the last days of his life when he was told of two maizdas that were forced to close because of a lack of financial backing? He started crying. He wasn't crying about the illness that robbed him of the last days of his life. He wasn't worried about his condition that we were worried about. He was worried about a thought that there's a yiddish in his shama that's going to be denied the opportunity to experience the sweetness of Torah. Wasn't he personification of Mechamed u'mitzave u'mitzave that another child should see the Darchei Noyim of Torah? He once spoke about a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. When Shaul was concerned that there was a plan to assassinate him, and he's very upset, no one told him. And then he added what was seemingly a different grievance, V'ein choyla mikem olai. You see, your beloved king is in trouble, and it didn't bother you, it didn't make you sick. Because it's understandable, if someone that you love so much is suffering, it has to bother you personally. And then he said something that was a bit uncharacteristic. That kumen the tzait, when it's galik kvoid malchus shomayim, and the melech malchay emlachim will turn to his beloved children, and he will ask us, did it bother you? Did it pain you when you saw the bazillion of Kavod HaTorah all over the world? Rabbi said that sensitivity is only possible by a heart that never stopped crying to Kvod Shemayim. And that attitude is only by a heart that his only goal was to see the glory of Torah and the glory of a Ben Torah. By the Shleishim, one of the Rosh Yeshivas expressed his amazement. How is it possible? He took his best Talmidim, his beloved Talmidim, that he put in all his kaiches, and he made them the askarim that they were, and he sent them to different moishes and other yeshivas. We didn't have a kasha, because by him there was no me, there was no my yeshiva, there was no my moishes. The only thing that filled his heilig and his shama was Kvod Shamayim. And if by sending his best to a different yeshiva, that would add to Kvod Shamayim, that's the natural choice. Did it ever surprise you when we speak about his yeshiva or his maestis? He always mentioned other maestis. I once counted, he mentioned four other maestis. Because there was no me, there was no my maestis in his life. And I often said his biggest mesiras nefesh, and I could tell you what he told me, you'll understand this. But his greatest, by him, what was the supreme sacrifice in his life was, he gave up his learning. How was he able to give up his learning that was so cherished? Because there was something more in his life that meant more to him. And that was Kvod Shamayim. The Ma'or Panim, the current Ma'or Panim, was because he never stopped worrying about Kvod Shamayim. My Rabbi said, we came tonight remember Rav Pam Zuchayno Levracha. But I ask you, can we ever forget Rav Pam Zuchayno Levracha? Will we ever forget the Rav Pam that was Mechayos for so many years? We came tonight, remember all that he taught us and all that he lived his life for. I was once scheduled to speak someplace with a one-time opportunity. And I asked him, Rebbe, what should I speak about? What's so important? And I must confess, I had a different motive from 60 years of teaching. What has he considered his most important message? He told me then, tell him my word about Yosef. I knew what he meant, but I was quiet. Pare has these frightening dreams. He can't interpret them. He calls Yosef. And Yosef successfully explains he's going to be Yemei Sava, and subsequently he's going to be Yemei Rav. And after this, he gives unsolicited advice. Pari, you have to appoint ministers, and you have to take the food together, gather the food. So he asks, Halayoyet, like a Pasuk in Navi, Halayoyet la melech l'sanucha? What an audacity! A nar, ever, ivri, giving advice to Pari. So he said, Pari, he wasn't giving advice. He was on a life-saving mission. That was Malei Rachmanis. Because he understood that that's human emotion. A person has the greatest blessing, but he doesn't realize. He doesn't realize the full greatness of it. And he doesn't realize that it comes to an end eventually. That inevitably after Yemei Sava is the Yemei Ra'av. And Yosef foresaw what's going to be if they squander all the bracha of the Yemei Sava. Then the Yemei Ra'av, that will compound the pain of Yemei Ra'av. They're not only starving, but it was their doing. They had the tzava. If only they had the foresight to use the Yemei Tzava properly. And he would say, that's a person's life. A person's life is Yemei Tzava. There's so much to do. There's so much to accomplish. There's so much that we could achieve. But as we know, after the Yemei Tzava, invariably there's Yemei Ra'av. That was the message that he felt most important. Cherish these days that were zaycha to be on this world. Treasure another year, another day in Olam Hazeh, because they are Yemei Tzava. How often he would say, Amen to the Gizba of the Gresta Oitza, a person is a treasurer on the greatest wealth, and that's his neshama. Because he saw life as Yemei Tzava. He was the opportunist par excellence that took advantage of it on every day in Olam Hazeh. Who could forget when he reached his 80th birthday, she even made a fundraiser, and I was wondering, what is he going to say? 80 years of Torah Chachma, of leading Klal Yisrael, how is he going to express it in mere words? And he said, and I quote, the blessing of life is what we make of it. That's the message that he would want us to hear tonight. Life has so much blessings. Life has so much opportunity. There are so many different ways that we could live the life that he wanted us to live. Shadei Shem, Shamayim, Misai, Val Yodecha. He would often say, Zebachai, Vezebachai. But each and every one of us have the opportunity. How we would stand on this bima and these days, what he would say, the Yemei Chesma Vazavas, Vadaf Machen HaChesbin. And he would say, we have to stop and think. Are we investing our greatest oitzah properly? Are we doing what's worth spending our time with? Are we pouring our lives into something that is worthwhile? Or chalila hechlafnu oylam oymed va'oylam oyve? We are giving away eternity for the fleeting moment. He often quoted the Chafetz Chaim, as the Gresta bin the Chesbin was the Avgebin, is thus was melebin on a Chesbin. But within these words, there was so much of Mechayaos. I can't tell you how I perceived in his words the belief in each and every one of us. I think the secret of his success was that he believed in each and every one of us. That each and every one of us has a life of Yemei Tzava. That each and every one of us has the opportunity to accomplish. He often told the story of this person in shul. He had no self-confidence. And one day the Gabbai approached him. Yankel, nu, vas bistu? What are you, a Kayin or a Levi? So Yankel chuckles, Kayin, Levi, ich bin kam a Yisrael. And he would say, there's no kam a Yisrael. There's no Yid, just a Yid. Because every Yid was put into this world with unlimited Yemei Tzava to do things and accomplish. He said these words, Amen Shtachrachten as Erez Yachid Umayuchid, and I, there are so many other people in this world, but his Shlichus and his Aitza, no one else could accomplish. He believed in the individual. He, like he would say, the Lashon of the Medrash, Eilu Chachaviv Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nobody more beloved by the Eibishter like the one that Noisei Nafshoi Latzliach B'Shlichusoi. And he would say, every person's mission in life is totally subjective. With all his difficulties, with all his setbacks, with all his problems, with all his abilities, but you have a specific mission. He came to the Klei Chemda once. He said, Rebbe, I need a great schooler. I need a big yeshua. So the Klei Chemda says, I don't know if I'm schoolist, but one thing I could tell you. The Yevishter says on each and every one of us, the Yisem li schooler mikol ha'amim. If you will be the schooler you're destined to be, I think that's a great schooler. Rav Pam's success with the Yachid, Rav Pam's success with the Marbitz Taira, because he saw the skula that we could be. And he believed in the opportunity that we have to be the skula. He would teach, you say, in the Chronis Rosh Hashanah, there's a din on Maitse Ishuf Kudasai. And he would ask Maitse Ish, we understand, Diba, Machshav, and Maitse. But what does it mean? There's a mishpat on Pekudasai? And he would say, Pekuda means your mission in life. What you are destined to be. And he said the words, of Dasa Dishavsta Din. I gave you talents. I gave you abilities. Are you equal to the challenge? And he would say, Pekuda means your mission in life. What you are destined to be. And he said the words, of Dasa Dishavsta Din. I gave you talents. I gave you abilities. Are you equal to the challenge? Who could forget when he would describe the poor millionaire living, thinking he has nothing. He had nothing, no food to feed his family. And one day the worst happened. He looks on his wall. There's a taras. And the kohen comes and the kohen says, you have to tear down your house. Could you imagine he has no food to eat and now he doesn't have a roof on his head? But as Chazal tell us what happens as they're tearing down the house, oysters start falling out. And he would say, what a pain. Looking in retrospect, look at the suffering that a person endured for no reason. He was a millionaire. He had it right in his own home, but he was unaware of it. And he would say, a person has to look within himself. Maybe he's living a life of a poor millionaire because he has talent, he has capabilities. If he doesn't lose sight of Kudosoi, what the Avista banks him with. I can never forget how we would speak about time, sight. He was mesmerized. He was almost sicker from the beauty of time, from the inherent greatness of time. Because he saw all a person could accomplish with time. Rav Pam would never want us to stand here and say how great he was. But I do believe he would be happy if he would spend some time thinking how great we could be. After being zayich for so many years of him being the Mechaya us. And if I have to choose one line that I believe was the secret of his success, his remarkable accomplishments, I think it almost defined him, and the line that he would want us to live, that on this day of Chav Ches Av, of Koyach Av, as we start a new year without the Rav Pam of our lives, it's the words that he never stopped saying in later years. He quoted the pasuk in Haggai, which is one of the darkest periods in the history of Klal Yisrael. Yidden were broken and dispirited. They were lost and hopeless. And the Navi says in the name of Hashem, Asu ki ani etchem. You do what you could do. And I will do the rest. I will send the Tziyai to the Shemaya. My Rabbi, looking back in retrospect, if today there are well over 20,000 Yiddish neshamas here and in Eretz Yisrael, they are being zoicha to live a life of noyam haTorah and noyam haMidos, it's because that ish chalomos, that person who had dreams, who had visions, his life was dictated. And he was energized by the guarantee, Asu ki ani etchem. How he would affectionately appeal to us, Achai v'rei'ai, now is the time to accomplish. Because we have the blessings of life. We have so much to do. And remember the Siyata Dishmaya. How was he zeicha to all his accomplishments? Because he believed that the ani itchem is inevitable. And he would often say, in these days, in this time that we live in, I remember the words, in unsere Zeiten, oitzreis velgen sich in der Gas. I once had a very precious discussion with him, and he told me, we see something, and he sees it often, that anybody that does anything for Kvod Shamayim, Harbatus Torah, writing Svarim, Kir V'chaikim, Chesed organizations, is zeichet to phenomenal success. Because in the time of so much chayshech, it's always an equal balance of zeh la'um zeh. And he said, oitzis in unsere Zeiten, velgen sich in der Gas. And all we need is the ish haruach to respond to the never-ending call of mi la'shem elai. Because he believed that asu is never impossible. I can never forget it. It was one of the an important fundraiser. The doctor said, he cannot go to Shemoyfin. And a few days later, one of the Talmidim asked him, is Rebbe going? He said, I must go. There's no choice about it. That was the secret of his success. Because he knew Asu and an Yitchem are inseparable. Imagine if we would live our lives in Kviyas Itim Latayra, in Chinuch Habonim, in Tzedakah and Chesed, that I must do this. Because a person has to make a decision. Well, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. But the Rambam taught us the decision has been made. Asu v'ani etchem, we must do. Because there's no other choice. It was once he said this publicly. It was a question of adding some new maestis, and he said, we can't do it. From a realistic point of view, it's not possible. But then he said, there's another force, a much greater force, an overriding force, an irresistible force, to say yes. I don't know how. I don't know how we will do it. Ich weiß nicht. But one thing I know, we're going to do it. And those that were close to him wondered. He was always such an ausgezeichnet person. How is he able to do something that he himself conceded is impossible? I believe because deep down he knew that it will happen. It will be done. Because deep down he knew there's a koyach, an unimaginable koyach called the Ani Itchem. Particularly in the later years, he would appeal to us in all different levels. Achai v'reyai, we live in a time of unprecedented siyata d'shmaya. Are we responding to the call of Mi L'Hashem Elai? And I ask you, what would he say today? What would he say in Tashin Samach Dalet? When, pardon me for being so blunt, but was there ever a time that we could buy a Yiddish Neshama? There are so many courageous Meisters that are willing to bring another child closer to Avinu Shebashamayim, and they spell it out, for X amount of dollars you could put a child into yeshiva. Isn't that an opportunity of Isis Velgi Zichin Gas? What would your palm say in Tavshin Samach Dalet? How we have to live with the Cheshbin. Opportunities of growth in Habotas Torah, in Torah for all levels, for Balabatim, in Chinuch Habonim. The Shirim once said in Davening, we say, Adam Yisoydei Me'yafa V'soyfei La'afa. And invariably a person is brought to tears. And the Shirim asks, Bosh Veitman, if Adam Yisoydei Me'gold, and Soifei La'afar, that's tragic. But if he originates from Afar and he returns to Afar, so what did he lose? Buzz Bateman. And the answer he gave, typical of Bisharim, is it's true, Adam Yisoidei Me'afa, but he could have been Soifei Gold. Of them veins in the Shama is an opportunity of Soifei Gold. I have no doubt if Rebbe would be here tonight, in his most remarkable way, he would appeal to us. Even there hasn't been a generation of Soifei Gold like our door. And he would say, I don't only talk to Mavitze Torah and Gedolei Torah. I talk to my Armei, which he once called us, and each on his level, Zebekoi v'Zebekoi, is an opportunity, is a golden opportunity. And a person that in our times has to be blind not to see the Eisrus Velgering as if in the gas. There's never been a generation that we could finally realize the goal that he lived for of the Chol Bonayich Limudei Hashem. And I would like to humbly suggest, if there's one thought that he would want us to take out of this kinnis tonight, on this day, to draw the koyach of this Avientel Yisrael, to realize we are living in Yemei Sava. And each individual should respond in his way. And Achai Berei, he would say, there's no come yid. Each of us can achieve and each of us can accomplish. Because I think that was his kavod to us. Asu is never impossible. Ani etchem is inevitable. And yidin tayra, Asu and Siyata Dishmaya is always inseparable. Because his life was an eloquent testimony. You do yours and the rest is unimaginable. In the weeks before his Patira, he told one of his Talmidim, I'm afraid I won't see the V'chol B'nayach L'mudei Hashem, but you will. And if you and all my other Tayre Chaverim will do all you can and accomplish all you're destined to do, you will see that glorious vision of V'chol B'nayach L'mudei Hashem. That's his message to us this evening. Let us be focused on our mission. Let us realize the blessings of our life, the chayvasai, the oilamai, that is fully subjective. Let me just close with something that, again, I think he would want us to share to this evening. In one of the fundraisers, in a few months before his passing, he said these words, and I quote. He first spoke how Torah is on the march, how there's so much success, unimaginable success. And then he said these words, and I quote, thanks to a tape, Ribbono Shel Olam, give us a little more time, and we will present you a world that's fit for the Shekhinah. And then he said it again, give us a little more time. Give us your Siyata Dishmaya. And then he started crying. We are doing. We are doing. We need Va'ani Etchem. We need you continue with Siyata Dishmaya. And then with a tear-choked voice, he cried, Borei Kol Olamim, give us more time and Siyata Dishmaya. And you will see V'chol B'nayach L'mudei Hashem, a world fit for Melech Malchei Amlochim. Ribbono Shel Olam, that is what we are begging of you. Give us koyach and Siyata Dishmaya and the time to be able to accomplish what we are set to accomplish for Kvod Shamayim and for Malchus Shamayim. And then he concluded, Ashrei mi sheyesh lo chelek mizeh. There was not a dry eye in that ballroom when he said these words, because every person realized what this Isha Chalomos would do if he was given a little more time. He once referred to the five old Mendelis as the Isha Chalomos, and he was also an Ish Matzliach. And he said that's a contradiction in terms. A Nish Chalomos is Nishkan Emes Avelt. And then he says that it's not a problem, because a Nish Chalomos can't accomplish. But someone that's living, the Davar D'Mori Messiah, who's living with unprecedented Siyata Ishmaya, his Chalomos can become reality. And this is what our Rebbe, the Isha Chalomos, appealed to us. Continue the chalom, continue the vision that I gave my life for. Unfortunately, he wasn't given that extra time. But we were. We that he loved so much and he referred to as Achai Vareyai, we were given Gesunde Heit so much more time to accomplish. If each of us responds to our call of Milas Shem Eilai, if we continue to being the skula that we are destined to be, if we are the chaviv that never loses sight of our tachlis in chayim, hopefully we'll be zoicha b'karayv to see that glorious picture of b'chol b'nayach l'mudei Hashem b'karayv b'karayv. Thank you very much.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@hl.com.